السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان في حاجة أخيه كان الله في حاجته أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters, this is the one ayat of Surah Al-Dahr, Surah Al-Insan, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praise those people who are helping others and taking care of others. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. That was the quality of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in due to the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they used to feed the hungry, even they used to love the food, meaning the most of the Sahaba radiallahu alayhim ajma'in were poor. Muhajireen, most of them were poor. Ansar, they were poor. So hardly they used to have the food to fill their stomachs. And in that poor condition, if some beggar or some needy person used to come on their doorstep, they never used to refuse. Although they used to be in the need of that food, they used to be hungry. They used to sacrifice their own hunger in order to fulfill the need of the other. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. The destitute, orphan, and the captive. The person in those days, they used to have their slaves. So all these three categories were in the category of the need and necessity. And then after helping them, after giving them food and clothing, whatever they were in need of, la nuridu minkum, what they used to say, innama nut'imukum liwajhillah, that we are helping and providing you food only for the sake of Allah, only for the pleasure of Allah. Meaning they never used to boast. Today sometimes people help, but then they used to have to show off, I helped them. You know, this is what they used to expose in front of the others, which is very wrong. Whatever amal we should do only for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, with total sincerity. So they used to say after feeding the people, innama nut'imukum liwajhillah, we don't need any thanks, any appreciation from you people. Our ajar, our reward, it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will get it when we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the yawm al-qiyamah. La nuridu minkum jaza'an, we don't want any thing from you people, we don't want any appreciation from you people, or you know, any kind of, you know, saying to us, no, we don't need that, don't thank us. We are only doing for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, and we are going to get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that whoever is in helping others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him. Meaning, comes in the hadith that if a person is, you know, trying financially or physically or any way to help someone to bring him out from his problem or from any dire situation. So as long as he's working to help him out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of the person, the helper. That's why in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is such a great act of helping the welfare service or social service, my brothers, it is so important and it is emphasized in Islam from the beginning. Ulama say the social work is so important, my brothers. That look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the nubuwwat, prophethood, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when? At the age of 40, right? From age of 40 to age of 63, 23 years, he was a prophet of Allah, Rasulullah, Khatimun Nabiyyin, Rahmatullil Alameen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all the historians, all the scholars or mufassireen, when they speak on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they start, you know, from the birth to the death and demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and actually they focusing those 23 years, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the wahi, and then what happened, 13 years of Meccan life, persecution, hardship, etc. And then 10 years of Madina Munawwara after Hijrah, after migration, and Fathul Makkah, conquest of Makkah, you know, in battles, Battle of Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Trench, etc., etc. So these are the main topics when any speaker speak on the seerah, right? But we are forgetting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to become that personality who can take the burden of Khatimun Nabiyyin. It is not easy task. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 40 years. That 40 years prior to the Nubuwwat, that period also very precious, very, very important. We have to focus, we have to ponder upon it. That boy who was born as an orphan, he didn't see his father. And then he was in the hands of his mother, then mother also passed away in the very early age of 4. So he was deprived of his parents. The parents are more mushfiq and kind towards the children. They sacrifice to upbring their children in any way. But in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that part was missing. That kindness of parents were not there. Then his grandfather passes away. Then his uncle takes care of him, Abu Talib. Right? But then these 40 years of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a child, as a young man, as a husband, as a father, right? All these stages of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him step by step. And in his youth, he was well known as what? As-Sadiq al-Amin. Most trustworthy and truthful person. Right? So these were the qualities which will help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he will proclaim himself as the Khatimun Nabiyyin. So that was a mental and physical training for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to become, you know, the bearer of the Nubuwwat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has trained him these 40 years. The 40 years he spent in that Meccan society with the community with his sublime character. And every person living in Mecca used to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as Al-Amin Al-Asadiq. Right? Very helpful person. And he used to get involved in the social work from the beginning. There's a very famous incident of Helful Fuzul. Right? In that committee, when they make the committee to take care of the affairs, to protect the Muslim and oppressed people, amongst those members, the youngest member was Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. They selected him as one of the members. And we know that famous incident of Hajar-e Aswad. He was young. And how he solved the problem of the leaders by placing the Hajar-e Aswad, you know, in the sheet, and we know the incident. What are these? These are the incidents showing his social work, his welfare, his connection with the people, his kindness. He is helping to the needy and poor. There are so many incidents, and all this happened before the Nubuwwat was given to him. So he was prepared and trained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take this great work of Nubuwwat. We are the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised us in the Holy Quran. And there are so many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers, as we are enjoying the title of the Ummah of Khatimun Nabiyyin, very great, very, you know, big title. But with that title comes responsibilities. And the responsibilities are that we should take care of our neighbors. We should get involved in social work. There are so many work is going on in this Fairfield city. We have no interest. We have no idea. We are not showing any interest towards it. We as a Muslim community, now it's been recognized in the city. Before they never used to care about who is Muslim and where is Masjid. But now, Alhamdulillah, with little bit link and effort and relation with them, Alhamdulillah, the mayor and the police chief and the fire, they all know us now. And they are regarding us. They are appreciating our help. With little bit we are helping to the homeless people, the poor and needy people. They are appreciating, coming into the limelight now. They are recognizing us. They are contacting us. Now we received an email from the librarian. They want to, discuss with us how we can bring Fairfield City. What is the Muslim's ideas? How the Muslim community can be helpful to, upgrade, to make the city better? How we can get rid of the homeless people from this city? How we can help them to get rid of the criminals, drug dealers? Before they never used to contact us. But now they're recognizing us that we are the whole Ummah. They like Muslim community, the big community, the church, the masjid. So they are looking forward. They are appreciating our little bit effort. So now it is our responsibility, my brothers, that we must step up. We should not just sit, come in the masjid and pray and go away. This is our city. We are living here. We should have concern about this city. Why is wrong things happening? I am responsible too. I must try my best to help any way I can possible. But if you just sit in your, safe corner and you don't come out from your comfort zone, you are not a civilian. You are not a real true Ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the whole life Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was helping others. And this is how he trained the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in shown practically this example of welfare and well-being of the people. I will quote one hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Salatul Fajr, he used to sometimes ask the question to the Sahaba. Sometimes he used to relate his own dream, whatever dream he has seen last night. He used to elaborate and explain the meaning, interpretation of the dream. Sometimes he asked to the Sahaba, "Is anyone saw any dream?" Then Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to relate, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I saw this dream." And then Rasulullah sallallahu used to interpret what is the meaning of the dream. Or anyone has any question, any concern. So there used to be Q&A session after Salatul Fajr. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu sit down till Ishraq. They never used to hit and run like we today. We just pray 2 rakat Fajr and then we go away. We don't want to sit in the masjid. This habit is gone. There used to be the halaqa of askar, the halaqa of ta'lim after Salatul Fajr. And daily Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit down after Fajr facing Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu till Ishraq. And they used to have the ta'lim and teaching and learning session till Ishraq. That sunnah is gone from the masajid. We don't have time for that. So anyway, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, narrating this hadith, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من اصبح منكم اليوم صائما. The whole sahaba crowd is sitting in Masjid Nabawi. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم posed the question, who is today fasting? That was the month of Ramadan. That was not month of Ramadan, normal day. Who is fasting among you? Whole congregation is quiet because no one was fasting. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala stood up. He said, قال Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala ana, ana. Ya Rasulullah, I am fasting. He said, mashallah, very good. Then he asked another question. Man atba'a minkum al-yawma janazatan. Amongst you, who followed the janaza today? Anyone took part in the funeral? And this is also a dilemma, unfortunately, sorry to say, if we hear my friend, my relative, or person from my tribe is passed away, I'll make an effort to go and attend the janaza. If I heard it from different country, is from different sect, I don't care. I don't want to spend time over there. I only attend the janaza of, if it's Pakistani, all the Pakistani will go. If it's Palestinian, all the Palestinian will go. Rest of the people, they don't care. Shouldn't be like this. He's a Muslim brother. And there are so many rewards. And this is one of the right of the Muslim, that when he passes away, we must follow his janaza, regardless from which place he was born. Who is he? He's a Muslim, just follow his janaza. Make little effort. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the second question, is any one of you attended janaza? Again, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, I did. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the third question, Man at'ama al-miskin? Who fed the poor? Again, the whole crowd was quiet. Imagine his Fajr Salat, early morning, right? Abu Bakr Siddiq stood up. Ya Rasulullah, I did. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the fourth question, Man aada minkum al-yawma maridan? Who among you visited a sick person? Again, everybody was quiet. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu alone stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I did it. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised. He said, Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mastama'ana fi imra'in illa dakhala al-jannah. That these qualities, whoever possesses altogether, definitely, most certainly, he will enter into Jannah. And this is hadith in Muslim Sharif, authentic hadith. Now, my brothers, just think and ponder. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform Salatul Fajr, and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in used to come to attend the Fajr Salat. And 100% used to be, presence used to be 100%. No one used to stay home and pray Salat alone by himself. Even Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala was blind Sahabi. He had a very great excuse and real excuse. And he even asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, Ya Rasulullah, daytime I can come manage, but in the early morning, no one is there. He used to live a little further from the masjid. Masjid al-Nabawi. He says, all dark. They never used to have electricity in today's time. And roads were not paved like today's roads. You know? So he says, Ya Rasulullah, Fajr time is very hard for me. No one is there to bring me to the masjid. I am blind. And it's so difficult for me to follow, you know, in the darkness to come to the masjid. Will you please allow me, excuse me, to pray Fajr Salat at home? Genuine excuse. Rasulullah first said, okay, all right, because since you are blind, you can pray home. And Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala start moving. Rasulullah called him, oh Abdullah, come back. Do you hear azan? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I do hear azan at my home, because of the Bilal radiallahu ta'ala had very, very loud voice amongst all the sahaba. His voice was very loud. He used to go on top of the roof of the Masjid Nabawi. He used to call the azan. The whole Medina used to hear his azan. Obviously. So Sahaba never used to lie. He said, yes, although my house is further, but I can hear the voice of Hadrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. He said, yes, if you're hearing the azan, then you should come. Then you should come to the Masjid, no matter what. make all the efforts to come to the masjid because you are hearing the azan. As-salatu khairun min an-nawm or hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala salah. It is your responsibility to respond to the call of muadzin. You know, he's calling you towards salah, you come to the salah. He's calling towards success, you must come and attain your success. So Rasulullah did not allow him to stay home. Look at today's my brothers. What is our condition? How the Muslim can be successful? How we can live without stress, without any problem, where practically he is not responding to the call of Muazzin. And everyone, 100%, they are at home for Fajr Salat. No one goes that early to the job. There is no excuse. But no one is coming, few brothers, 5, 6, 7 brothers coming to the masjid. Why? We have no regard for Salat. We don't care. May Allah give us tawfiq for that. So now think and ponder the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How practically Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was doing all the social works. This all the 4 or 5 questions Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked was not with regard to tahajjud salah or zakat or anything else like that. Most of the questions were with regard to hukukul ibad, the rights of the people, attending the funeral, right of the people, feeding the hungry, right of the people, visiting the sick person is right of the people, all social work. And how busy schedule Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to have, just think and ponder. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam questioned all this after Fajr Salah. Still the day is there, whole day it has to pass. If Rasulullah would have asked this question after Salatul Maghrib or Isha, then it's thinkable that, oh, whole day I had a chance to attend the funeral, I had a chance to visit a sick person, I did help any needy person, because the whole day I did all these activities. But Rasulullah asked this question after Fajr Salat. Who is there to do all these activities? We just woke up from the bed and barely we make wuzu to come for Fajr Salat. And here, Abu Bakr Siddiq already done all these things. He already visited the sick person before he came to the Masjidun Nabawi. He already fed the poor. He knows exactly in my town, in my locality, who is the poor. Before he come to the Fajr Salah, he already fulfilled his desire. He's done that work before coming to Fajr Salah. You can imagine how early Abu Bakr Siddiq used to start his day. Maybe from midnight, he was awake for Tahajjud Salah, right? And then after performing Salat, making Dua, this is the social work he used to do on the way coming to the Masjid. And he already did all these things, my brother, early morning when people were sleeping. They were still getting ready for Fajr Salat. That was the quality of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I cannot fulfill the rights of Abu Bakr Siddiq, what he done for me and what he done for Islam. My brothers, in this incident, there is a great lesson for us. We are also ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are also responsible for all these activities and we can also do all these things. Just take little time and don't be selfish. Don't just live for yourself. Unfortunately, we just worry about myself, my children, my wife. It's not me. Islam is teaching Afzalun Nas, Khairun Nasi, Mayyanfa'un Nas. Khairun Nasi or Afzalun Nasi, different riwayat, different alfaz. Afzalun Nas, Mayyanfa'un Nas. The best among the people is that who is more beneficial to the people. Who is more beneficial to the people. My brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one step helping, I don't have time to go in the detail of the hadith. The meaning of the hadith is, when a person take out one step to fulfill the desire or need of anyone, regardless of Muslim or non-Muslim, anyone, he goes out with the intention to help him anyway, for one step, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is better than the etikaf or 10 years. One step helping a needy person is better in reward than the etikaf for how many? 10 years. Imagine, 10 years person sitting for etikaf. How much reward is going to get? That much, equivalent to that much reward, a person will get if he goes out with the intention of helping other needy person. And then Rasulullah will liberate, if a person sitting for etikaf, liwajhilla, one day etikaf, nafal etikaf, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make from between him and the Jahannam three trenches, the distance of three trenches. And each trench is between the earth and the heaven. The gap between every trench is from the earth to the heaven. And three trenches away from the hellfire for that person who is sitting for one day etikaf, nafal etikaf. And here, 10 years of etikaf. Count, 10 years of etikaf. Right? For what? For one step. And how many steps you going to take to help that person? You can't count it. How far you will be from the hellfire if you do this for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. And you don't have to spend money. There are so many ways you can help the people. It doesn't mean that you must only help with the money. Financial part is one side. You can go and negotiate some person. You can, if you are, know how to do something, you can fix someone's car. There are so many ways to help others. So may Allah give us tawfiq to understand this importance of the social work, social service. And we can somehow become helpful to anyone in our community, in our society. May Allah give us tawfiq for that.